there, and welcome to a Friday Facebook mailbag that comes on the heels of Halloween. I'm Drew Doherty. This is Nick Scherfield, this mountain man to my left. You're going to see a different Nick Scherfield next week, and maybe a different me as well, because before we get going, we're both growing mustaches for the month of November. It's called Movember, and we're basically doing it to raise awareness for men's health, trying to knock out testicular and prostate cancer and a host of other things, too.
Yep. It started on November 1st, 30 days of growing a mustache, or attempting to, in my case. I tried to do it last year, and I don't even think a lot of people noticed, because it takes me about 3 weeks for anything to come in. But Drew and I are going to kind of have a little mustache off for the rest of the month, and some other Texas boys get involved as well. Should be fun, and hopefully not too embarrassing.
It'd be like Tom Selleck and Ned Flanders here. All right, but let's answer your questions. Brooks Butler has this one. Did y'all have a good Halloween? What were some of the costumes or traditions of any of the Texans players or coaches that you have seen and can share with us? Yeah, I had a great Halloween. I think you did, too. As far as the Texans, what they do, Matt Schaub held a bowling party. It was a costume party on Monday night over at 300 on the west side of town, and a lot of people showed up, and he said the best outfit was clearly Owen Daniels and his significant other, and you know, it was a good time, and I can't remember what they were exactly.
They were dressed as Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber, that's right, that's right.
The orange and the blue suits, or tuxedos, I guess, with little hats. And Dwayne Brown, so Matt Schaub said that Owen and his fiance won the best costume, but Dwayne Brown had a really good one as well. He tweeted a picture of it, the big left tackle, him in a full 300 warrior outfit. Was
wow.
Very imposing, very intimidating. I can't remember what Matt Schaub was, but T.J. Yates had a good one, deer and headlights with his date. He was a deer. His date was headlights.
I heard Case Keenum was a goth with his
I did not see
his
that.
Wife, yeah.
I know that Connor Barwin tweeted out a picture of himself as a chicken, a very, very large chicken from last week. And then J.J. Watt, interestingly enough, was not dressing up this year. He said he was just going to be handing out giant candy bars around the neighborhood, and kids know that and come to his house more than once to try and get them. But he did say when he was a kid that he was a Power Ranger several years in a row. The red Power Ranger specifically is what he was. Tough to picture that guy in at the size he is now in a Power Ranger outfit, but apparently that was his costume of choice as a kid.
But the Power Rangers would be very happy to have J.J. Watt along.
They'd be more powerful.
That's right, yeah. Isabel Valdez has this. I would like to know what Owen Daniels' touchdown dance means. Is he supposed to be opening a vault? Yeah, it looks like he is opening a vault. He does that thing there, but what he's doing is turning up the intensity, and it started earlier in the season in the hands were closer together, and as the season's progressed and touchdowns have come, the hands have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, but it's an inside joke with he and his brothers. He's turning up the intensity, so that's what that means.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of questions about that, and understandably so. It's a cool little celebration.
It is.
But yeah, that's what he told us. He has, I think, two younger brothers, and it's kind of something that he has going with them, so it's a shout-out to them, I guess, and I'm just curious to see how big it's going to get by the end of the season, because he already has 4 touchdowns on his way to a career high by a long shot in that category. So we'll see if he just keeps making it bigger or if he comes up with something new.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive because you know his intensity is always dialed up at max capacity. All right, we got a good one here, Nick. Mads Kjærgaard Petersen says this. Hey, Nick and Drew, representing the Texans all the way from Denmark.
All right.
I was wondering, how are you seeing the Texans' final record this year? I personally think they're going to lose to the Patriots and the Bears, which means a record of 13-3. And which players do you guys see as the MVP of the Texans? And finally, I was just wondering if you guys think J.J. Swatt can beat the single-season sack record. Love the show. Keep up the good work answering our questions. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for following the Texans from Denmark. Thanks for sending in questions for us. Let's address these one at a time. Record this year. 13-3, wow, that would be something. You know, 12-4 would be great. 11-5, take that as well. I think the Texans want to improve on what they did last year and set themselves up as the best team in the AFC so they can have some home field
advantage. Yeah, they don't want to lose again. Obviously, right. No team wants to lose, but J.J. Watt was asked that coming out of the bye week, you know, what can the defense do differently in the second half of the season? He said, well, we lost a game, and we don't want to do that again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even seeing, you know, this opinion saying they might lose to the Patriots, and Bears, that almost makes me want to say, well, why are they going to lose to those teams? Yeah, they should be able to beat or they could beat, I should say, every single team.
They don't fear anybody. They think they're capable of beating anybody, any conference, any time.
Yeah, they lost to the Packers, a pretty bad loss, but they've kind of said it wasn't them. It was an aberration. It was a hiccup, a clunker, as Wade Phillips called it. So, you know, the way they dominated the Ravens, the way they've dominated almost every team they've played this year, they're confident they can beat anyone. 13-3 would be great. That'd probably be good enough to get you first place in the AFC, and that's certainly what they're shooting for.
All right, and as far as the MVP of the Texans, got to go with Matt Schaub or J.J. Watt, but I would still go, no offense, J.J., I'd still go with the quarterback of the team just because you know his importance to the team.
Yeah, you could certainly make a very compelling case for that. You know, J.J. Watt would probably be my pick just because you could say he's not just the Texans MVP.
You could say he's the league, yeah.
Yeah, the league MVP right now, and, of course, Defensive Player of the Year as well. But, you know, to your point, Drew, if you look at Matt Schaub, what he's done this year, how efficient he's been. What is he, 9-1 in his last 10 starts? You know, the Texans' offense with him versus what they were without him last year. He doesn't have the huge numbers, but he's playing incredibly efficient football. He's managing the ball. He's not turning the ball over. He's avoiding sacks. And with him in the lineup since last season, Texans are averaging around 30 points a game. So he's obviously a very, very valuable part of this team. I still say J.J. Watt, though.
Okay, and yeah, I do think J.J. Watt could break the sack record, the single-season sack record.
Yeah, he's on pace for 21.5, which would be one shy of Michael Strahan's record from 2001, 22.5. He's also on pace for, I think, 23 passes of defense, which would be a record by 13 for a defensive lineman. Reggie White had the NFL record. I'm sorry, it'd be a record by 10. Reggie White had the NFL record for a D lineman with 13 back in 91. So, he's on pace for an incredible season. You know, people were going to say, yeah, he's going to slow down in sacks. He's not going to get as many. But then again, nobody expected him to get a sack in each of the first six games. Nobody expected him to have 3.5 sacks in 2 playoff games last year. So he's doing things that are defying expectations, defying the norm, and I don't see any reason why he's going to slow down.
Final one from Colton Milstead says, hey, Nick and Drew, do you think the Texans don't play as efficiently on primetime games as they do on regular games? I've noticed that when Houston barely escaped New York with a win, and I don't think I have to mention the Green Bay game. Love to hear your answer. Well, listen, they played two games this year. Two games in primetime this year. One was a road game against a team that was, you know, had its back in the corner and was, you know, or had its back against the wall and was cornered animal, all that stuff. They won. The game wasn't ever really in doubt, and they won. It was an impressive performance. That was on a Monday night. They flew home in the wee hours of Tuesday morning, got back there Tuesday around 5:30, and then they had to go to work a day and a half later. I'm not making that as an excuse, but you couple that with the loss of Brian Cushing, an outstanding effort by the best player in all of the land, Aaron Rodgers, and it was a perfect storm of sorts. I don't think it's a matter of playing on prime time. I just think they laid an egg on, you know, a game after, you know, a weird week.
Yeah, I agree. It's not necessarily a trend. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you mentioned, that's the best game of his career, one of the best games maybe ever by a quarterback in the NFL. I think he's, what, one touchdown shy of the NFL record with 6 in that game. And his receivers are making incredible plays. The thing with primetime games, you know, it does throw off the schedule. They're not in the same routine. They're sitting around all day. If there's a Monday night game, they have a short week. But it's not an excuse. And, you know, looking at that New York game, you got to keep in mind in that game as well, they lost Cushing in that game in the first half. Their defensive captain, who was on fire in that game, playing in essentially his hometown, and they still found a way to win, and the Jets pulled out all the stops. They were doing fake punts with Tim Tebow. You know, they were doing all kind of crazy trick plays and things like that, and the Texans withstood it. They got a big win on the road, their first ever win in primetime on the road. I sure hope they're playing as efficiently on primetime as they are other games, because they've got a few more primetime games left this season. I don't think it's an issue. I think the players get fired up for it. I think they're playing well. The fact that they won that Jets game is all that matters. Like you said, we said about the Packers game, chalk that up to a bad game, and we'll see what they do. I think they're going to be fine the rest of the year, and it's exciting to get to see the Texans play in that national spotlight.
All right, good stuff. We thank you for sending in those questions. Hope you have a fantastic weekend watching the Texans possibly beat the Buffalo Bills. I think they will. I bet you do, too.
We hope they will.
And we hope they will. Yeah, see you later.